In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this setting, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heaven and earth will pass away. I lift up my eyes to the hills.
From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth?
The Lord is your keeper.
The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The Lord will keep you from all evil.
He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in.
From this time forth and forevermore.
Thank you.
Let us pray.
O Lord, almighty and ever-living God, you have given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may live and abide in your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second last Sunday before Advent is from the book of the prophet Malachi, the fourth chapter. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him.
The Lord has given us his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations.
He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises.
Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody.
With the trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King of the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it.
Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth.
He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's second letter to the church in Thessalonica, the third chapter. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'The time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place. But the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart. And let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth, and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, where the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." This is the gospel of the Lord. having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made.
grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text today is from the second reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where St. Paul says, "As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good." Amen. This is our text. The end is near. The end is near. That's what Malachi tells us. That's what Jesus says in the gospel reading, in words that may sound disturbing and unsettling and frightening. Blazing fire and utter desolation. The destruction of the temple. False preachers and prophets who are saying that Jesus has come again, or that they are Jesus. Wars and tumults, earthquakes, famines, pestilences, terrors in the heavens and on the earth, persecution and death. Jerusalem surrounded by armies and then trampled underfoot. Nations in distress, people perplexed and fainting with fear. And they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. They will see him coming to a world which quite honestly seems to be at that point to be hanging on by a thread. Now, many of these things have already happened. The temple of Jerusalem was destroyed, trampled underfoot. The city has been rebuilt, but the temple has not been. Earthquakes and famines are common. Wars happen over and over again. Pestilence and tumults and nations in distress. And sometimes we think that the wrong finger on the wrong button could quickly end all of it. For hundreds and even thousands of years, people have been seeing all these things and thinking, this is it, this must be it. And we're getting closer. But so far, the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory hasn't happened. Although the Thessalonians seem to have thought that maybe it had happened. You see, it seems like there was a rumor going around among the Christians that Jesus had already returned in glory, and they missed it. I don't know how you would miss it, but they seem to have think that they did. So now what? If we missed him coming again in glory, now what? Then nothing really matters, does it, if that is true? And St. Paul wants to set them straight, wants to correct this error in their thinking. St. Paul says, "Pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead." Jesus has not yet returned in glory, but in these uncertain and perilous times, in these times that are frightening and disturbing, one thing is needed. The truth of God's word to be proclaimed. To be proclaimed to us and to all the world. To help those who don't know what to think. To help the people being deceived and misled by untruths or half-truths. And for this truth to be spread, that the Lord is faithful. This is what Paul says. The Lord is faithful, and he will guard and establish you against the evil one. What he means is this. That no matter what happens, we have a Father in heaven, we have a Son, Jesus Christ, who will do what they have said. They are faithful in all the things that they say. There's nothing in this world that you can count on more than you can count on him. And so St. Paul says, may the Lord, the faithful Lord, the establishing and guarding Lord, direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. He prays that their hearts would be directed not to a God who is far away, but to where there is reason for confidence and hope and faith. To the God who is near, the one who has come near to us in the cross. That's where he would point them.
In the midst of the tumult and the chaos and the wondering and questioning, to the God who would do that, to the God who would give himself for you and for me into death, coming into this messed up and self-destructive world, and shed his blood for the likes of us, to save you and a world that seems to be falling apart at the seams. He points us to the steadfastness of Jesus Christ. Because the cross was the fulfillment of all of God's promises. Everything that he said in the Old Testament sort of lands on the cross on Christ. Which promise of God's has failed? Tell me. Which of the things that God said has not yet been fulfilled, aside from Christ coming again in glory? Not a single one. And not a single day has gone by when you have lived apart from his care and his love. Maybe you've known that you've been under his care and his love. Maybe you haven't known it, but it's been true all the same. All the time, he has been there. He has been faithful to his promises and also to you. And he has been faithful in working for you and for your salvation, in small ways sometimes and in big ways at other times, and even to the point of sending his son to die for you on the cross, for your sins and for the sins of the whole world. The Lord is faithful. And not only is he faithful, but he is also steadfast. And that's such an important thing when we think about the world in which we live. I mean, this world is constantly changing. And I don't have to tell you that as much as it may seem like things are the same, think about what life was like 10 years ago, or 15 years ago, or 25, or 50 years ago. It's constantly churning. The things that we thought would last forever, they didn't. The things that we didn't think would last, maybe they're still hanging around or they're coming back into style again. What we thought we could count on let us down. And life flies by, and who knows what tomorrow will bring. But the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord endures forever. This is what is sure and steadfast. This is why we gather week after week, year after year, to hear the word that endures. This is why we pick it up at home and read it and pray it and meditate upon it, because this is the thing that will last when everything else falls apart. If you've got a bad day or a bad week, a bad month or a bad year, if you've got a difficult diagnosis or a big bill, if you've got a temporary inconvenience or a life-altering accident, in every anxious day and sleepless night, you have a loving Father who knows you and your needs. And you have a steadfast Savior who went through it too, who went through all the suffering of this life, all the trials that we endure, and he rose victorious from the dead, so that you will rise as well with him. So whatever comes, and however difficult it may be, it will not, it cannot, it will never defeat you who are in Christ Jesus. You who are in his care. So Jesus is coming again in glory. The Lord is faithful, we can be sure of it, and we have his steadfast word that endures forever. But until that day, what do we do? Until that day, how should we live? Well, St. Paul has a lot to say about that as well. And Jesus mentions this too. He mentions two particular ditches on which you can fall. The first one that Jesus speaks about, of how we might spend our time in this world, is one in which we simply deny his coming and we live in what he calls dissipation and drunkenness. You might say this would be the sort of attitude that says, well, eat, drink, and be merry, have fun, and try to forget all that we see happening, all these signs. Just numb yourself to endure. The other side of the ditch is to get so wrapped up in the trials and the tribulations and the troubles and all the cares of this life that we get crushed under them, that we see no way out, that we give up. I worry sometimes when I think especially about the news cycle and social media feeds and all of those things that come at us, how much that has the tendency simply to weigh us down and destroy us. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I think our lives would be a whole lot better if we just simply turned it off. You're not going to miss a whole lot. And you're not going to get crushed by the cares and troubles of this life. So neither of those ways is helpful. It's not helpful to go the way of simply numbing the trouble, and it's not helpful to go the way of being crushed by the trouble either. And how could we? How could we possibly give up on a Savior who never gives up on us? How could we possibly stray from the one who is faithful and true to every word and every single promise that he has made? How could we live in despair or in dissipation when he was willing to die on the cross for us and then washed us clean with his blood that he shed and he gave to us in holy baptism and serves to us in holy communion? Jesus is the one who said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you even to the end of the age." And all this is the answer to our prayers. This is how and where Jesus gives us the strength to endure and to escape the tribulations. All these things will enable us by faith to stand before the Son of Man at his coming and to stand with confidence and with joy. But life is about more than that, even. It's not just about hanging on to the end. We're not just sort of waiting and enduring until he comes. No, all these things enable us to live our lives now in a way that is fitting for believers. This is one of the things I want you to be thinking about today. God's Word, our baptism into Christ, the Holy Communion, the holy absolution, the fellowship of believers, these are the things that enable us not simply to hang on, but to live a confident and bold and joyous life here, doing the work that God has given us to do, confident that he will provide for us each day. And this is where Paul uses a particularly interesting word. He speaks about quietness. Do your work quietly. What does that mean? What would be the opposite of doing your work quietly? Well, the first and maybe most obvious way would be to do it with your mouth running. To do your work while you've got an awful lot to say, which seems to be the way that the world is today. We have people who are talking and yammering on about everything. They've got an opinion on every subject. They're willing to say whatever simply to get clicks or likes or views. They don't care how they hurt others with their words. They don't care about the truth as long as they're heard. I ran across something like this week, even not within our congregation, but within the wider church. Someone who was frustrated about things going on and who went off on a rant for about 15 minutes online. And I don't think he knows what he's talking about. And what he says isn't constructive in the least. Busybodies, Paul calls them, who just stir up trouble and strife and don't lift a finger to help. That's not good. That's not right. That's not helpful. That's not why we're here. So St. Paul says, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat, which sounds kind of harsh. And I don't think Paul means that we need to get rid of SNAP or Social Security or any of that. But what he means is this: all talk and no work, as attractive as that may sound, has its consequences. Our God has called us to do our work quietly, knowing that the Son of Man is coming in glory. And isn't that exactly what Jesus did? I mean, yes, Jesus talked a lot and he preached and he had sermons. But I mean, think about Jesus, who knew that the forgiveness and mercy that he came to bring were not just words, but required work on his part. the work of laying down his life. St. Paul, who knew that Jesus had paid the whole debt of his sin and who preached it, but who also imitated Christ by laying down his life for those to whom he preached. He worked to support himself so that Christians wouldn't have to go without the gospel because they couldn't pay him. And Jesus backed up his words with deeds, and he paid the debt of your sin. He freed you to now bear the cross of others by imitating Paul, who imitated Christ, so that we wouldn't just talk a good game, but we would do work our work quietly. What kind of things might we do? Providing food for people in need, helping women who are pregnant or in need, supporting those who are elderly and can't take care of things like they used to, which we've been doing as a congregation, and the need will continue to be there. Giving rides, helping others pay their bills, going out of your way, making a phone call or reaching out. And you know, as we do these good works quietly, St. Paul would remind us that we don't need to go around trumpeting what we've done. We don't need to tell everyone else about how great we are. Simply do the work in front of you. Care for those around you. Whatever it might be, and when I say this, I don't mean paid jobs. I mean you can pray for people, or you can serve them, or you can take care of your daily job faithfully for those whom you serve. Just as Christ bore your burden, and just as Paul bore the burden of the Thessalonians, so we who are in Christ are always bearing one another's burdens. That's what we've been called to do while we wait for Christ's return, to bear the burdens of others because of the one who bore our burdens for us. And that's why St. Paul is so concerned that we would fall not simply into a life of talk, even if it's good and pious talk, that we wouldn't just be about a life that sounds good, but that our lives would be lives that show forth the love and mercy of God in our actions. Yes, we believe that faith alone saves. We also believe that true faith is never alone, but it is always active in love. Because faith is quietly confident in Christ, confident in all that he's done for us, so that we rest in his love. We rest from our labors to save ourselves, and instead we serve others, quietly and at peace. We don't need recognition for the things that we do. Our Father in heaven sees. We do what we do because of the thankfulness that we have for what God has done for us, and we do what we do because we see the signs that Christ's coming is near. We don't just twiddle our thumbs, but we live faithfully as his people in quietness, but a quietness that speaks. Perhaps you can think of someone in your own life whose outward demeanor was so understated, but the things that they did meant so much to you. They could work quietly, but make a tremendous impact. May God grant that we work like this, with a quietness that is confident in Christ, with a quietness that gives words of encouragement and of forgiveness, with a quietness that sings and prays, with a quietness that bears witness to our Lord, with a quietness that is happy to listen, quick to hear, slow to speak, because quietness and confidence in the Lord will act and fulfill his word. Our Lord Jesus Christ lived his life and did his work quietly and faithfully, that we might have the promise of salvation in him. St. Paul did his work quietly and faithfully, that the word of Christ might be made known. And now he calls us, in whatever our vocation, our calling is, to do our work quietly and faithfully as well, confident in the one who cares for us, and confident that Christ is coming again soon in glory on the clouds with power and great might, because we know the Lord is faithful, and we know that his word endures forever, and we know that if there's anything in the world we can count on, as we do our work quietly, we can count on that. So do not grow weary in doing good. And whenever you feel that weariness hitting you, come again. Grab hold of that gift of baptism by which Christ washed you and made you his own. Open up his word and read of his faithful promises and fulfillment again. Take hold of the bread and the cup of Christ, who gives you his own body and blood, until he comes again in glory, that we might do our work faithfully with our eyes fixed on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy. May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy. Strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend Olivia with her migraines, Diane with her ongoing recovery, Katie, Danny and Karen, Dorothy, Heather and Mike, Jim, Karen, Kate, Lauren, Rick and Teresa, Tony and Libby, Verity, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times. Thy will be done, Lord, in your mercy. Grant us our daily bread, preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Amen. Preserve our nation, give wisdom to our leaders, and grant them integrity and faithfulness in carrying out their duties. Keep safe all who travel. Watch over and protect all expectant mothers and their children, especially Stephanie, Jamie, Catherine, and Emma. Comfort those who have suffered miscarriage or infertility. Protect the weak and vulnerable, the elderly and the unborn. Be the fortress and refuge of those who suffer for doing good and speaking the truth. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our grateful thanks for all who have served our country in the armed forces, putting themselves in harm's way to protect the citizens of our land. Help us to honor them for the sacrifices they have made and provide for them and their families. We also ask for your care of those who currently serve, especially Anthony, Emily, and Brandon, Scott, Jamie, Tim and Kay, Jake and Ryan, Lucia, John, Mario, Tom, and Stephanie, and Stephen. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy. Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. And lastly, O Heavenly Father, grant your comfort to those near death and your peace to those who grieve, especially to Jenny's friend Carol as she mourns for her husband Bobby. Deliver us all, we pray, from all evil of both body and soul in this and every time. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Amen. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. In the communion of all your saints, gathered into the one body of your Son, you have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, encouraged by their faith and strengthened by their fellowship, may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and together with them receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Oh,
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 90, a prayer of instruction, starting at the first verse. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days. Lord, you have been a dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but yesterday, when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You swept them away with the flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to the end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. You have let your iniquities before us, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath, we bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by strength 80, yet they span is not toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger, of your wrath, according to the fear of you? So teach us the number of days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift.
Amen.
And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you,
yes,
and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.